Oh, I know. You're tired. So am I. But this is it. This is our last presentation for our introduction to stocks. And it's a fairly short one, folks, because we're going to take a look at some of the investment strategies that people use to invest in stocks. Okay? All right. So we're almost there, folks. Almost there. Don't give up. Never give up. Slide 86. The buy and hold strategy. Well, actually, we don't have to go any further. This is it, folks. This is what you're going to do. You're going to buy and hold, right? I sure hope so. Because this fundamental analysis strategy is used to identify high-quality companies with good growth prospects and the potential for dividends at reasonable prices. It's easier said than done, folks, but it's what I believe you should strive for. You want value. Now, remember our discussion of growth versus value? Indeed, sometimes a high PE, a more speculative issue is a good value, and sometimes it's not. And sometimes a low PE and a dull, normal, boring, or maybe out of favor company is a good value, and sometimes it's not. It's sometimes called value investing, but again, be careful of the terms growth and value. And also, it's called GARP, which I just think is a great name, growth at a reasonable price. Yeah, it's also a book, The World According to GARP, and turned into a movie, but the book is awesome, folks, so do read the book. Anyway, this is my personal favorite, folks. This is what I think is the best way to invest in stocks for the long term, prudent, long term oriented. You hear me say that over and over again. And we just love Mr. Buffett. We just love to quote Mr. Buffett. Our favorite holding period is forever. Well, you know, he's being a little bit facetious because you don't live forever. But sure, if you're buying a company, if you're buying a business, wouldn't you want that business in your family and be a part of that, to be a part of your family and something you could give to future generations? Yeah, so in Mr. Buffett's case, he's already made far more money than he ever thought he would ever make, and he's never going to spend it all. He's going to eventually give it all away. It's an interesting story. I don't know if I've related it to you yet. He always said before, many years ago, that while he was alive, you know, I'm good at what I do. I'm good at, you know, handling capital and growing businesses and the like. And I'll wait until I'm dead, and then my wife, who's into the philanthropy, she can give it all away. Because there's always going to be a need. There's always going to be a need. Charities are always going to need money. And it turned out that his wife predeceased him. And so that was, you know, unexpected. You know, usually the women live longer than the men in a marriage. And so he said, okay, I'll start giving it away. So he's been giving it actually to Bill Gates' foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, because they already have a huge organizations created to donate money to good causes. So, yes, he says that he's going to leave enough money to his kids so that they can do anything they want, but not so they can do nothing. So they can't sit around all day and do nothing. They have to still work. So in the face-to-face class is when we would take a look at this example called Don't Lose Perspective. So we want you to go to the website, or it's in Canvas, and take a look at it, because it really does make the case, folks, for not trying to time the market. Just don't even bother. Just put the money in and realize that if the world doesn't end, capitalism doesn't be replaced by something better, which I don't think it's going to anytime soon, we're going to do well. We're going to be prosperous. Slide number 87, the income strategy. Now, this is more for people who are more risk-averse. Sometimes called equity income. Remember, equity income mutual funds, companies that emphasize dividends over capital appreciation. Ideally, you want to look for companies that are growing their dividends, because companies that pay consistently growing dividends tend to do well when the market as a whole does poorly. And companies that have grown their dividends smartly over decades have been some of the best performers over the long term. in general, this is appropriate for conservative stock investors. And remember, we're not talking about politics. We're talking about people who want to invest in stocks but do not want to experience as many ups and downs as people who are more growth-oriented. This strategy works well with DRIPs. Remember the dividend reinvestment plans? Exactly. And as we said, it was read at the bottom, stocks which have had long histories of consistent dividend increases have often been the market's best long-term investments. Take a look at Philip Morris, now called Altria, which has morphed into Altria and Philip Morris International. Look at Procter & Gamble. Indeed. Look, these companies have grown their dividends over time and done very well for their investors. Slide 88, the growth strategy. Well, let's read the bottom, right? Let's read the bottom first. Growth stocks are stars. Everyone wants to jump on the bandwagon as a company is experiencing strong growth. Subsequently, the stock price is bid up to very high levels. So typically, these are the stocks that are the more riskier. Not quite as risky as those speculative stocks, which aren't even growing their incomes or losing money. But when the slightest hint of a slowdown in the growth appears, the stock price is often brutally punished. So these are the companies that you hear about in the news. They're the ones with the gorgeous teeth and the beautiful hair. They're on the cover of Vanity Unfair and Vogue and Gentleman's Quarterly. Yeah, they're growing their earnings. And typically dividends are a secondary concern. They usually have high price-to-earnings ratio and expectations of higher earnings. Indeed, but if those earnings don't appear, the parachutes had better be very large. Be prepared. Slide 89. Now, the aggressive growth strategy, speculation, short-term trading. This is the strategy I think people think they're supposed to use when they start investing in stocks. They look on the TV and they see people in front of four different monitors on two different telephones. Look, folks, it is fraught with perils and drawbacks, not the least of which are the serious transaction costs that can be generated as a result of frequent trading. If you're a stockbroker, you simply adore these suckers. I'm sorry, these speculators, these traders who use this strategy. Why? Because you're going to make a lot of money off of them. So let's start. I went to the bottom first. Let's go back to the top. Speculation, short-term trading. The investor, shall we say the speculator, the trader, aggressively trades in and out of stocks in order to achieve eye-popping returns instead of waiting 3 to 5 years. And why do we keep talking about 3 to 5 years? We'll get in the next chapter, folks. We're getting there. Wait till you see what's next. An aggressive stock trader, speculator, would go after the same investment return in 6 months to a year or less. Some traders have time horizons in the weeks or days. Folks, they're not buying stocks. They're not owners. They're renting the stock. They have no intention of owning this business. But now there are companies with computers that make millions of trades per day. How are you going to compete with that? Don't even try. But if you do, the best of luck and success to you, because you're going to need it. Slide 90, the contrarian strategy. Now, here's a strategy that actually works for some people, but it's not easy. The contrarian strategy is a strategy where you invest in stocks that are out of favor with the market for whatever reason, as reflected by the low price-to-earnings ratio and low prices compared to their fundamentals, which we'll discuss in the next chapter. Contrarian investors actively seek stocks from companies with sound financial statements that the market has undervalued. So you're sometimes called a value investor. There's that term again. And here's a great quote from a long-term value investor, contrarian strategist. I always try to be accommodating. I buy when others want to sell, and I sell when others want to buy. It gets back to that saying that Warren Buffett is famous for. Be fearful when others are greedy. Be greedy when others are fearful. And we're going to find that it was his boss, it was his mentor, Benjamin Graham, who wrote the Intelligent Investor, who actually said it before Mr. Buffett. He said it not as cleverly as Mr. Buffett said it. Being a contrarian is difficult, since historically the market rises about 3 times as much as it falls, remember? So if you continually sell your stocks while the market's rising, pretty soon you're going to be out of the stock market, right? And so you have to wait for those times when there are extremes. And it's not easy. It's not easy to sit on your hands. As Howard Marks, who's the CEO of Oaktree Capital, a very famous contrarian investor, said about his business, it's not a steady business. Exactly. You have to be able to just be patient and wait for the carnage. Wait for blood in the streets, dead bodies falling out of buildings and landing on the ground and bouncing. So you see, it's a bit of a tough thing to do. And I've tried it a little bit. You know, when I've seen prices really fall, I've put in a little bit more money. But mostly I'm just a buy and hold, dollar cost averaging guy who puts money in from my paycheck and my checking account. But I'll save a little bit and throw it in there. In 2002, I timed it perfectly. And I didn't think I was doing it, folks, but it was October 2002. And I was thinking, boy, this is really bad. So I put some extra money in. It turned out it was a good time. In 2008, I blew it, right? I saw the market fall about 20% in October 2008. I said, oh, okay, it's time to put some money in. And then went down another 20-30% from the top, not from there. And so I should have just waited an extra month. I would have done better. But hey, you know, it's not easy. It's not easy to do. Now, when it comes to real estate, I can honestly tell you that I was a contrarian investor, and it worked out for my wife and I, because my wife never really liked stocks. I mean, I convinced her after a while, but when we first met, she was terrified, as many people are. And I would say, Anita, you know, this, no matter what happens, tomorrow there's good news. If the stock market goes up, we're worth more. If the stock market goes down, we get to buy more shares. That's the dollar cost averaging idea. And she said, what about real estate? I said, well, it's very expensive. You know, it's very expensive in San Diego. And you normally get cash flow positive. You have to have money coming out of your pocket to meet all the expenses. The mortgage and the insurance and the taxes and the maintenance and the like. And so if I'm going to buy real estate, I want it to be cash flow positive. So she kind of looked at me, all right. And then 2009, 10, 11 came along, and sure enough, the rent from many of these places that you could buy would cover the expenses, the mortgage, the taxes, the insurance, the maintenance. And so we swooped in and bought a few properties, and it's worked out. So I can honestly say that I was a good contrarian investor in that respect. Yeah. So think about it, folks. Think about it. Reflect upon it, how it affects you. Are you willing to sit on your hands and wait for everybody to be running around screaming and hollering that there's blood in the streets and the world is coming to end? Yeah. Slide number 91. Here's a few that I hope you stay away from. Sector rotation. Well, the idea here is you identify the hot sectors of the economy. Right now, it's the social diseases. I'm sorry, social media and marijuana stocks and... stay away, folks. They're still illegal at the federal level. Who else? You know, the face farcebooks and titters of the world. And then you sell the stocks that are in the stale sectors. Well, you've got to decide which is a hot sector, which is a stale sector, and your sector is not that hot, and you look over there and you switch it to that other sector when that's hot, just in time for yours to become hot and that one to become stale. It smacks of market timing. Momentum investing is another form of the aggressive growth, but here you watch which way the market is going. The trend is your friend, as we'll see when we get to to technical analysis. And you buy stocks as they go up, you sell as they go down, often involves selling stocks short, meaning hoping they go down. It uses what is often called the greater fool theory. Somewhere out there is a greater fool than I am. And this is, if you remember, just 10 years ago, 12 years ago, this is what was happening in the real estate market and seems to be happening lately, where people, it doesn't matter how high you pay for a real estate, for a piece of property, it's only going to go higher. Well, that works. It's kind of like musical chairs. It works while the music's playing, but when the music stops playing, yeah, you better be sitting in a chair. Warren Buffett has a saying, but he's not the only one who said it. I've heard it from other people. When the tide goes out, you can see who is swimming naked. And then lastly, market timing. Folks, don't try to buy at the bottom and sell at the top. This can't be done except by liars. And that's not me saying it. That's Bernard Baruch, who was a famous investor of the 20th century, a very smart guy. Don't attempt to predict the future direction of the market. Take a look at that long-term perspective. Keep a long-term perspective handout that we give out in the face-to-face. It's on the class websites in Canvas. Yeah, it'll drive you insane. You'll go nuts. Mr. Baruch was a very, very smart man. He had a saying that I think is so appropriate now. Every person is entitled to be wrong about their opinion, but no person has a right to be wrong about their facts. Aha. Okay, I'll let you think about that for a while. Slide number 92. And here in the face-to-face class, we would say, okay, which strategy do you favor? Let's talk about it. And of course, everybody picks buy and hold because that's what Mr. Baiano said. But no, you have to decide. You have to decide. I tell you my biases up front, beforehand, so that you know where I'm coming from. Because as we said, there's chocolate and vanilla, and some people like strawberry. If you try the aggressive growth strategy, I wish you much success, but it is not easy. You are up against the best in the world. And can you hit that fastball at 95 miles an hour? Can you throw that fastball at 95 miles an hour? And if you can, congratulations, you're going to do very, very well. Don't bet the farm. Okay, and we are finally, we are finished Chapter 5, our introduction to stocks. Oh, I know. Oh, boy, I know. But you need to know this stuff, folks. Go back and study it. Listen to these while you're walking the dog, while you're commuting, running after the children, whatever. Watch them on your smartphone. You can do it. You can do it because, dear students, we are ready. We are ready to enter the inner sanctum of knowledge, the temple of the dividend discount model and fundamental analysis. Huh? Stop being a goofball, Piano. No, really. We are ready to take a look at common stock valuation, and it is the core, the heart of our course. We are lifting you up, dear students. We are so proud of you. You are rising gurus. We will see you in our next chapter where we will tackle the big question. What is it worth? Study hard. Bring honor and glory to Southwestern Community College. We are so proud of you. Don't give up. Never give up.